Hello, everybody. It's Tuesday, June 20th. Chapo's back at it again. Right off the bat, I would like to apologize that the show is a day late, but in my defense, I was forced to celebrate the federally mandated CRT-inspired woke holiday that is Catherine Krieger's birthday. But we're coming through the show nonetheless. You know, white boys all over the country are asking their school teachers, why do I have to be responsible for Catherine's birthday? I don't even know this guy or his girlfriend. And that, friends, is the problem right there. The indoctrination that goes on when it comes to girlfriends' birthdays and the heavy hand of the state coming in to mandate that we take a day off to observe it. I'd rather be working. How are you, fellas? Did you enjoy the long weekend?
It was fun. I mean, like, what's the difference for us?
Well, you know,
really, I really don't notice. I haven't noticed probably in like 6 years.
I actually
like when people are like, oh, it's fucking Labor Day. I'm like, how is that different from any other day for me?
It's only Passover is the night that's different than any other night for you, Felix.
No, not even. I eat all of that food. Regardless, every night.
I swear to God, I did feel it yesterday because I feel like Monday is the day I do work. So the fact that I didn't, I was like, nice. Birthday holiday. Anyway, guys, let's get into it for the show today. I know everyone's talking about the Titanic submersible currently at the bottom of the ocean, but I wanted to kick things off today's show because I'm so pissed that I didn't do this last week. And I'd like to begin today by reading just from a few of the recorded statements in the Rudy Giuliani lawsuit. Would you guys like to get horny with me for a second?
There are some good tips in here. I know that, the Reddit, the subreddit is not around anymore, but presumably there are still a lot of people dealing with issues we saw on there. Guys who don't know how to talk to girls. And well, we're a little late, you know, hopefully you haven't killed anyone in that time, but you are about to learn a treasure trove of what to say. Cause this stuff worked, you know, everyone made fun of this stuff, but it worked.
It worked. You can't argue with that. This is how you get girls. And at least one situation, this worked. So you got to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Some would say this is the only thing that does work.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention. You are now about to witness the strength of sex knowledge. All right. This is from the these are in recorded statements. Giuliani said to Ms. Dunphy at various times. Number one, I'm going to make it a little painful. And
well, at least he warned her.
Please keep in mind.
Does that mean that he's like, oh, I have a Craftmatic and one of the springs is poking out and it's going to cut right into your back? I'm not going to get a different bed.
He's got one of those beds where they're like, it's like basically like a hospital bed with like where one side goes up and down for various reclining options, except your hand gets caught in there and crushed.
Yeah, no one has spilled more seed on a Craftmatic than Rudy Giuliani. Not even the couples on Real Sex. He has done the most on that thing. He is probably, people have probably like not only quit the Craftmatic adjustable bed customer service call center, they've had to go into therapy because of the questions that he's asking them. Hey, it's Rudy. What happens when a girl squirts on the remote? I don't really know what he sounds like anymore, but you know.
When I try to imagine in my head what Giuliani sounds like saying, I'm going to make it a little painful. All I remember, when I think of what Giuliani sounds like, I just remember that clip of him at the Republican National Convention. I
believe America!
America! I'm going to pop that pussy! I'm going to make it squirt! America! All right.
We had period sex and we tore the wire on the Craftmatic. Do I get an entirely new one? Or are you going to replace the pot? Some seniors are still sexually active. Don't tell me you didn't know.
Number two, stick it up your ass. I don't know what he was talking about, though.
I think he was watching like a Yankees game or something.
Yeah, that is, I mean,
that's that's not sex thing.
Yeah. That's a New Yorker. That's New Yorker.
Yeah, you yelled at it like an underperforming center fielder.
Yeah, Giancarlo Stanton. Stick it up your ass.
I mean, presumably, you know, because all of this worked on his target.
Yep, that's the thing. You can only make fun of it so much.
So she was probably like, oh, I have a, you know, I've got a sex toy shaped like, I don't know, George Wallace. What do you want me to do with it?
A gavel.
Yeah.
Sex number three or Riz talk number three. You're a fucking slut. And then I'm just going to in rapid succession here. You're a fucking slut. You're my bitch. I'm going to get my cock in there. I really like, I'm going to get my cock in there.
That sounds like, that's like a plumber who's explaining to you what he's going to do. Like, okay, you got the, there's a blockage in there, so I'm going to get my cock in there and, you know, rope it up, move it around a little bit, then boom, hopefully you're going to be floating again.
I'm going to need a special kind of washer to fix this, but if you want, just between you and me, I'm just going to get my cock in there and we'll just settle between us, you know, up front.
He's really doing the bare minimum of dirty talk. It's like, this seems like something that she asked for and he's not very good at, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, say the craziest things to me. And he's like, I'm going to put my male sexual organ in your vagina. You bitch. Certainly.
That's what's going to happen.
He's like, you're a whore.
Also,
and I'm going to come in you.
You suck.
You stupid cunt.
Fuck
like,
you.
This reminds me, I'm wondering if I should tell the story just because it's, I don't want people to have more lore about me than they already have. But I did date someone who, like, this is years ago, wanted me to do like sort of like a dom thing of like, she was like, I like it when you're dominant and you know, I want you to like tell me what I should wear to my job. And I just had no idea what to do.
Exactly. Shoes.
I was like, wear your skirt. Idiot. You know, like I just didn't know. It was just not in my personality. I did not know to do it. I was not good at it. So I feel bad for Rudy because clearly we were going through something similar.
I'm imagining the like the weekend in the Idol, and he's like, tie your shoes, bitch. Yeah, over under, tight, double knot that shit. Fuck yeah.
That's a guy who's good at, like, he's meant to do that. Yeah. Everyone's yelling at him for being a great, like, everyone's like writing these articles, like, the weekend's a scary sex guy. We need to put him in jail. But it's like, no, he's, someone asked him to do that, and he's doing it right. That's what he advertises. I've never been good at that. Yeah. I get terrified if someone asks me to do anything like this.
Well, I mean,
just
like
Rudy,
just follow these tips and tricks. The next one is genuinely my favorite one. It's going to be one of those phrases that's like in the running for the last conscious thought I'll have right before I flatline. But it's this: be a slut. Be Rudy's slut. Be Rudy's slut. Be Rudy's slut, America.
It's like he's writing campaign slogans.
America, beat Rudy's slut.
Like he's fucking this younger woman, and she's like, yeah, she's watched like 50 Shades of Grey and all this shit, and she's like, I want you to be dominant, Rudy. And all he can think about is like the last time he ran for president. And he's like, I know exactly what to do.
It also says here, Giuliani called Miss Dunphy a whore. I mean, you know, this is like dirty talk 101, you know?
Yeah.
Next up. This is a really good one. This is talk about having lawyer mindset when you're being horny. Giuliani said, I want to own you officially, legally, with the documents.
He's awesome. I want to be able to sign off on your tax returns, you stupid bitch.
Give me power of attorney, you fucking whore.
I want to contest your property tax increases, you slut moron.
I love it. His idea of erotic servitude is like, I need a legally binding document.
Do you need a will done? I need work right now. The money's not coming in.
I'm kind of intrigued by the implication there that does Rudy think that's an actual document? Do we not know what they're able to do? Are there is like if you say like the right Masonic slogan to a judge, will he bust out the human ownership contract for you to sign?
I think he accidentally revealed the main legal strategy for Donald Trump. he's going to get in there and like he's the marquee witness. He's going to shock everyone and be like, actually, Donald Trump isn't responsible for any of this because we legally made him property of Jared Kushner, who ordered him to do documents. And so actually, Jared has to go to jail. And Donald Trump is fine now.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched that Brett Baer interview with Donald Trump over the weekend, but like his legal defense seems to be, or at least not his legal defense, just his defense. That's what I love about Trump. You think his lawyers are telling him to say this shit? But he was just like, look, the boxes, there was all kind of stuff in those boxes. I had to go through the boxes. It had my golf stuff. It had my mementos. It had my knickknacks and trinkets. I don't know if there was a Ron War plans in there. They didn't give me time to go through my stuff. And there was a lot of stuff in those boxes that's mine.
So like every other president, I take things out. And in my case, I took it out pretty much in a hurry. But people packed it up and we left. And I had clothing in there. I had all sorts of personal items in there. Much, much stuff.
Next up on the Giuliani dirty talk. I can't control myself. I lose control. I think of you all the time. I'm unable to control it. I'm addicted.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, he's just trying. Yeah. He's trying. Yeah. He's just really trying to send her an exciting message. And he's not very good at it. That's fine. That's like very tame, you know?
Yeah. Might as well face it. You're addicted to love.
Yeah.
Next up, though, this is a little steamier. I can't think about you without getting hard. Even when I think about how smart you are, I get hard.
That's very nice.
He's a sapiosexual.
That's very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. That's very, I thought that was sweet, you know? He needs to hear a compliment on something other than her body. The hottest organ in her body is her brain.
Yeah, I thought that's what we wanted out of men, is that they appreciated women for more than just their sexual attributes.
Yeah.
Rudy's gone woke.
When I imagine Rudy Giuliani becoming engorged, I mean, obviously, like, the first thing that happens is that I'm standing at full attention. But when I imagine him getting and maintaining an erection, I imagine sort of like his head shrinking, like, or sort of like the hair dye running out of his head. It's sort of shriveling up as the blood runs from his face to his dick. And it's just sort of like he just sort of like squishes like a raisin.
How the hell is he getting hard all the time? Didn't he have prostate cancer?
I think Will has the right idea that there's such like a limited amount of blood in his body. That it's like squeezing that you know that children's toy, the rubber toy, where like you squeeze it by the neck and the face blows up. That's what it's probably like.
I was imagining
he's like, hold on, I'm gonna get hard. I'm gonna be technically dead for 20 minutes, but my dick will be hard. just ride my dead body for 20 minutes and then squeeze the dick so the blood goes back in my brain. So I don't experience total death.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine a tumescent Rudy Giuliani looking like a prune face from Dick Tracy. Because like it's like the capillaries are being taxed to the maximum.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's also like, again, he's a good guy. He has like one pint of blood for his entire body, and he's mostly using it on this lucky lady.
To pleasure this woman, to take her to erotic frontiers that most humans could never even imagine.
Well, some would even say an erotic homestead because he's legally owning her.
Rudy is Gorian.
Please clip that. Please clip the audio of Felix saying he's a good guy.
Again, he's a good guy.
Because the last two are Giuliani stated that he would get in trouble with underage girls if they were 16, but looked 20. Mm. And then finally said to Miss Dunphy, I think of you as my daughter. Is that weird?
Look, I was legally owned by Will Menaker when I said those statements. Will Menaker commanded me to say that Rudy Giuliani is a good person who's respectful and that he agrees with all of his sexual actions. Direct all complaints to my legal owner, Will Meneker.
My kitten is being very disobedient right now.
So like what, like he's okay. Well, he's worse at dirty talk than we ever imagined, because she was probably like, tell me something nasty. And he's like, I'm a pedophile. I want to fuck my daughter.
It's pretty nasty, I gotta tell you.
I ran over someone's grandkid. I said someone else did it.
You want something nasty? Let's look at my hard drive.
Well, like, is there any indication of like what context they were in? Like, what prompted him to say that?
I don't know. Well, yeah, that's a little dirty talk to start off this episode. I hope all our listeners learned something about how to
I hope
chat
they
up
can continue functioning and going about their day in an erotic frenzy.
This is how you spit game to females.
People might need to ease slowly into a cold bath or something to relieve the genital friction that they're feeling right now.
All right. Well, moving on from the from that conversation. I suppose, do we have any thoughts or feelings about the people stuck on the bottom of the fucking Atlantic Ocean right now because they wanted to see the Titanic in a homemade submarine piloted by a Logitech fucking PlayStation controller?
Nothing, but, you know, everyone's making fun of these guys, right? Like, everyone's like, haha, dumbasses, you stupid rich guys. You're dying in the worst dirigible ever. Fuck you. But I really think, like, okay, imagine paying $250,000 to be on this thing that is like, you know, like 2 square feet of a coffin that's controlled by a Mad Catz controller. These guys clearly fucking look like the ocean is their favorite thing.
Yeah.
And I really think that like we saw the photos, they're all older guys. They look like, I don't know. They kind of look like that picture of the single men's Thanksgiving that's always posted online.
Yeah.
Like they look like they're from there. And I think these are like lonely men who just, they probably had a pack that's like, wouldn't it be amazing if we all had an ocean death and we're buried in the ocean? And they were like, great idea. Hey, let's find the most unsafe submarine ever. Let's find a submarine made and operated by French seafarers, so it's really shoddily done, so we can have a meaningful death. I think they planned this, and
that's all I
have to say.
I think you're right about it, and you know, like everyone's saying, like, oh, is it okay to laugh at this, or should you not, or blah blah blah. It's just, I think you're exactly right, Felix. Maybe they wanted to die. And what an amazing way to die, you know, to be entombed at the bottom of the North Atlantic right next to the Titanic and all those other dead people. And, you know, look, if you're the Titanic, I mean, talk about staying relevant, you know, it's killing people then and now. How many other shipwrecks are still catching bodies?
The Titanic is one of the greatest brands in history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, I am happy for these guys, no matter what. We know they're good people because they were able to spend $250,000 on this.
They've been blessed by Neptune.
They probably sang their, like, with their last breaths, they sang a Gilbert and Sullivan song about the ocean and then entered a sweet embrace.
A British tar is a sore. Shut the fuck up. There's only 4 ounces of oxygen left in this thing.
the stupid pilot was like, guys, we need to conserve it. And they're just singing their hearts out. They're like, you're going down with us.
And is Fisby ever ready for a knockdown blow?
When I was a lad, I served a term as an office boy to an attorney's firm. I cleaned the windows and I swept the floor. And I polished up the handle on the big front door.
He polished up the handle on the big front door.
I polished up the handle so carefully that now I am the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
He polished up the handle so carefully that now he is the ruler of the Queen's Navy.
So yeah, that's that story. I guess another story to note this weekend. I guess back to the presidential race. I talked about the Trump Bret Baier interview, where it certainly seems like Fox News has got the knives out for Donnie T. I mean that was kind of funny. It was like I liked his take that it was just like the boxes were just, it was like moving, you know, like the boxes were just filled with his shit from the White House, and you know he didn't have time to go through it. But I guess the other big political interview of the weekend was Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on Joe Rogan. I don't know. We talked about the RFK campaign a little bit on this show, but I mean, I don't know. Would it be out of line to call him F. Kennedy? Or I can't say that anymore.
You beat me to it. I was going to say, looks like we know what the R stands for. It was a little more artful, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I'll try to be fair here, because, you know, like I guess my attitude on RFK as a protest vote is that, like, for every one seemingly sensible thing he says that I think is worthy of inclusion in a national dialogue, for whatever the fuck that means, his views on almost everything else are just too stupid to countenance. Like, I can't take him seriously. And it's not just because of his voice.
Yeah, and but like your protest vote is for a candidate who, like, meets with Rabbi Shmuley and says the exact same shit that Joe Biden says about Israel. Boring. Boring.
Well, yeah.
That's not just boring and like annoying. It tells me that RFK is stupid enough to think that he will legitimately have a shot. He's so stupid that he's like, oh, I may actually be president, so I need to triangulate for the lobby. That tells me he's a moron.
It seems like he's sort of trying to be a halfway crook when it comes to being a crank, which, like, I don't respect. I think you gotta be a crank or not be a crank. And it seems to me like he's on any good piece of crankery, he's triangulating. But just on the fucking vaccine shit, he can't stop talking about it. And Felix, I agree with you. It's just like, I don't give a shit about the vaccine stuff. I love vaccines. I love all medicine, like you said.
Medicine tastes great.
I take a vaccine a day and I feel great. But you know, like, that being said, it's like I'm comfortable in that, so I don't mind people saying it's poison. You know, it's just everyone's got their.
I
vices,
don't know.
You know.
I don't know any. What the fuck? Yeah. How am I supposed to know?
Yeah, yeah. It's so annoying that this has become like a
we have
debate.
I am not going to do my own research. Fuck you.
Everyone is really stupid, and even dumber people are like, you have to argue with me about what's in the shot. And it's like, neither of us know. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, me and another guy who haven't seriously like thought about any hard science for like 20 years since we were like in school, we're going to argue about like, you know, oh, is there really mercury in it? I don't fucking know. What's the right amount of mercury to have? I don't know. Whatever I have, it's probably fine. Who gives it? Shut the fuck up. None of us know. Fuck you. What? It's like if there was like a national debate about calculus, like fuck off. None of us know. Shut up. And like most of the time when someone is really into this stuff is like, I have my own petri dish and I looked at the vaccine. When someone's like that, but they're like with me on foreign policy and they're like, we need to get rid of NATO. It's like, fine, I will accept your, you know, you being into that for being with me on these other things. But RFK he's like a regular Democrat at the end of the day with everything else. No matter what he says, his true heart is with status quo and foreign policy. Even if he says these things about empire, he always walks back to the normal position. But he's like, now that I'm done talking about the boring stuff like NATO and the endless wars and BDS, okay, how about this? You know, let's run through the entire periodic table and we'll talk about what's good and bad to have in your body.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't think none of us know. Fuck you.
Look, my attitude on vaccines is that, like, it's my vice. I think it's a harmless vice, but like, don't yuck my yum. But in terms of everything else related to vaccines, it all falls under my very strictly enforced no homework policy. I am not giving myself homework, nor will I even for a second allow anyone to assign me homework.
Yeah. Look, with vaccines, when I was 23, I smoked the grossest cigarettes ever created because they were a dollar cheaper than all the normal ones. They were called Winstons. Normally, when you see a pack,
a cigarette should.
That's what they say. It's actually disgusting. It actually, the only other time I saw Winstons, they were being smoked by like a very like dry looking old man that you would see at the slot section of a casino, not the good slots.
Felix, I smoked Winstons in high school.
They're awful, truly terrible. You know, so you know. But I still, well, you know,
it was like I was coming into being a bad kid, and the other bad kids had to school me that like Winstons are bad. Don't smoke this shit; they're bad for you. So I was like, oh, thank God, Marlboro.
I smoked Camels and I smoked Cools for like a year in high school. I don't know why I did that. I don't know what the fuck I was trying to prove. what a weird choice. I didn't even really like them, but anyway, in that time, I still like overcame all the poison that's in Winston's that isn't in normal cigarettes. And I ran a really quick mile. I would run pyramid sprints at a 500-pound deadlift. And I feel like if the human body can process Winston's, then it can process autism, mercury, uranium, anything else that's in vaccines. And if you can't, if you have a vaccine injury, it's because you committed a terrible crime in a previous life. If you have, if you're one of the few that's injured by a vaccine, I hate to break it to you, one of your past lives, you were probably a Gilda Ray type figure.
Well,
hate to say.
One of the things that RFK says in interviews about like the vaccine autism link is that he's like, When I was growing up, I don't remember knowing a single autistic person. And now it seems like they're everywhere. And there's a certain, I mean, because like I wasn't alive back then.
Yeah, of course.
I wasn't alive back then.
They're everywhere. Look at your campaign.
No, but like what I mean is like when I try to imagine like what it was like for my parents growing up, and I'm just like in my head, like I'm not, you know, in my mind palace, I'm like, yep, no, that checks out. I don't see any autistic kids in my parents' high school. But the thing is, there were tons of autistic people back then. They just didn't know it. Like Dwight Eisenhower was probably autistic. Like, you know, probably half of the handsome generals were autistic.
Well, if you were on Tesla, autistic. If you were autistic and from like a good family and had like a useful, you could have a useful talent, they would just like beat the shit out of you every day until, you know, you were like, okay, I have to stop stimming at work. But if you were not from a rich family, then they just killed you. And that's like why he doesn't understand. Like if your dad, like his job was just to go into the coal mine and get dirty, like not even to get coal. He was just the designated, you know, get dirty guy. The dirt boy of the coal mine. And he made 3 cents a day, which is what most jobs were like.
It's a good job.
It was that, you know, you can still buy a 4,000 square foot house on that for 35 cents. You were one of his 9 kids and you were autistic. They're throwing you off a cliff.
I guess like in terms of like his triangulating on crankery. Do you remember a couple of weeks back with like the Roger Waters concert in Germany that was like canceled and then uncanceled? And they tried to make a whole big deal out of like imagery from the wall that was supposedly like neo-Nazi or anti-Semitic. I mean, it was all garbage, but it was like, you know, our RFK was out there defending his boy, Roger Waters. And he was like, yeah, like, you know, this is not anti-Semitism. I stand with Roger Waters. And then there were like, Mr. Kennedy, he was attacking Israel. And he was like, what? I thought he was just attacking Jews. And he threw him under the bus. He was like, oh no, we like this is inappropriate, blah, blah, blah. Like, so
unforgivable.
Yeah,
unforgivable.
That doesn't show particularly good judgment, in my opinion. And I guess like because you know, if to say that that Pink Floyd's The Wall is like a fascist document is just like it's too stupid to even consider. So the fact that you either like believe that or were willing to like walk it back and lie about that, this is not particularly encouraging. And the other thing I'll say that's not particularly encouraging about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is that that David Sachs asshole was holding a big fundraiser for him. And it's like, look, everyone needs money to run for office. But like, when I think about all of the other things David Sacks has endorsed or tried to sell the world, like, it doesn't exactly inspire confidence in the RFK Jr. presidential campaign.
Or RFK, period. I mean, if we're categorizing RFK as another David Sacks investment, he may die in the next week. That's very possible. And thank God, like, I don't want him to die. Like, I don't want his family to be sad or anything like that. You know, his family seems lovely, but less people will be going, you know, you need to look at the molecules in fucking vaccines. That's, you know, sometimes bad stuff needs to happen.
I mean, the fact that this stuff is like supposed is now just assumed by millions of people to be a matter for public deliberation is a sign that the entire edifice of authority has collapsed. And that seems like a way bigger deal, because if that's the case, if like the basic processes that are supposed to create like publicly agreed upon understandings of like scientific phenomenon and medical policies, if that is totally untrustworthy for millions of people and they demand that we do public politicized discussions of stuff that regular people do not know anything about, you're not getting closer to the truth. You are showing that that is an impossibility at this point, because you can't even address the fundamental collapse of the institutions. You can't even point to the real foundational cracks, like the fact that nobody trusts medicine because it's a fucking giant money-making operation that leaves people broke and sick no matter what they do. And so instead of address the inability to address that at all means there's got to be some realm we think that we could debate on, and it ends up being a place that is the least politically useful because it's the least accessible to regular people. But we've all convinced ourselves that we could do the research.
Yeah,
we don't know anything.
It's the perfect mechanism to keep everything in status quo, because people, this is probably the dumbest people have been since like the year 1100, you know.
Yes, it's, yes, pretty much absolutely.
Like it's the same too. It's like we have witches, we have people who think they can move the moon. Like 40% of Americans think the devil is actively pursuing them in their lives. I saw a post the other day. This was insane. This was like 10 years ago. If you said this, you would rightfully be killed by a local police department. But now it's cool to say. This guy was like, hello, fellow Catholics. I've been having visions of Joan of Arc. Can anyone tell me what this means? And the most liked replies were like, what? This is almost certainly the devil trying to fool you. Like, it was tech support. Like, it's like you go on Reddit when there's something wrong with your graphics card. That's what the thread was like. And it's like, watch it, you know, run a virus scan, get the devil out of there. And it's, to me, it's like, you people are fucking insane. Like, this would be insane 5 years ago. Like, everyone would be like, you're all crackheads.
Wait a second. So so this person says, like, I believe like the Holy Spirit is sending me visions of Joan of Arc, or that I am Joan of Arc reborn or something like that. What do I do? Well, what the fuck? I think it'd be pretty self-evident. Pick up the sword and fight the British.
Well, he was saying visions of Joan of Arc.
Okay.
And
well, what did she
do? He was resoundingly told it was the devil trying to trick him. And that's like 30% of Americans, 40% are like, you know, no, that's stupid. Anyway, me and my friends are casting a spell to protect the moon. And then there's like a QAnon people where it's like Ryan O'Neill is trapped inside a crystal and we have to get his soul to battle Neville Chamberlain and Tron. And that's it's. Yeah, the dumbest populace ever. And you take that 100% and it's like, okay, all of these disparate factions, all of you, let's debate about biochemistry. Horrible.
Well, I saw this guy. I saw a post this weekend that was, I think it was actually a Republican politician. And it was like side by side photos of Joe Rogan shirtless And this like immunologist doctor that's become the new villain of all this. I don't know who this guy is. I don't like, once again, I don't care, not looking into it. But he's sort of a dorky looking guy who has a bow tie and glasses and looks like sort of a goofy, like, you know, a goofy nerd. And they were like, who do you trust more with, you know, your health? I know where I'm going. And it's like, well, I trust Joe Rogan more on like workout advice, which is like a part of health. But like much past that, I'm afraid I'm still trusting someone with a PhD. And I don't know what that means, but like I didn't get a PhD. And I guess that's an appeal to authority. But it's what I've been sticking with. It's just what I'm sticking with.
Yeah, like, the alternative is doing all your own homework and then somehow like dying from drinking bleach anyway.
Joe Rogan's organs are the size of beach balls. He looks at, like he is only not dead because he's going to a steroid doctor. So, you know, some doctors are good, I guess. If it's a steroid doctor, it's good. But if it's like a vaccine doctor, he should be killed. I would like they posted a shirtless picture of Joe Rogan, who has like the worst gear gut out of anyone. And they're like the obvious answer is that you're supposed to take medical advice from him. I don't get it.
Well, I've ripped RFK now. So like I'm going to pull it back here and I'm just going to say equally entertaining to me is all of the consternation and hysteria among the Biden Democrats and like the Democratic Party that like this is a threat to our democracy. This is he's being funded by right wing billionaires and he's spreading lies and misinformation and this is all just a plot or whatever. And it's just like, look, if that's the case and this is a threat to Biden and the Democratic parties, it's like, well, self-inflicted. Because every poll says that Biden, like no one wants him to run for president. And also like, once again, not my problem, not my problem. Just enjoy the show. It's going to be fun.
You guys picked this 1,000-year-old man because you were like, we have to get Biden. He's the most electable. And then like 3 years later, it's like, guys, we have terrible news. The least charismatic man ever is destroying his popularity. RFK Jr. is destroying Biden's presidency, which it's not even that. Like RFK Jr. is not doing that. But it's like that would not, if he really was the most electable guy, that would not be a concern.
Yeah, you'd not be sweating it. It goes to, and the hysteria with which they freak out about it is the suppressed horror that they feel because they really do believe a untenable thing, which is that the Democratic Party is the last line of defense against complete destruction of all democratic institutions, the rise of fascism. And yet that institution, the Democratic Party, is incapable of stopping an 80-year-old senile man with 40% approval rating from risking an election. They can't. There's nothing within the party that can stop this from happening as long as he wants it. And that's their hope. That is their that is what the institution that they've invested their entire belief in a future in. And it is that fundamentally non-functional. Of course, they're going to scream at anybody who reminds them of that fact.
And, you know, like I'm not the voting cops here, but like as far as protest votes go. I'm going with the good Dr. Cornell West, just simply for no other reason than I want to be referred to as Brother Will sometime in the future, perhaps in an interview on this show.
Cornell West is an infinitely better choice than RFK Jr. Even if he is running in the Green Party, yes, you know, he's not making me do any homework.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there needs to be this line in the sand against people telling you to learn how to do science.
Yeah,
I didn't do that in high school. You're not going to get me to do it now.
And he's, he's never turned his back on Roger Waters. That I do know.
I just another piece from the campaign. I got a DeSantis clip that I'm hoping, Chris, can you bring that up? I want to play this clip because it's very there's a hell on earth connection to this clip, and I want to share it. It's Ron DeSantis being grilled by David Brody of the Christian Broadcasting Network on his Catholic faith and what it means to him. So this is Ron DeSantis on Catholicism.
Talk to me a little bit about theology from the Roman Catholicism standpoint. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of rituals. That's kind of how it's steeped in. Evangelicals kind of see it as that born again relationship with Jesus. How do you process that? Have you thought about that type of stuff? You think about everything. I mean, I would think.
I think if you think about what's the most compelling part of the Bible? There's a lot. For me, I would point out, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, that's ultimately what the faith centers around. Yes, there's a lot of traditions, and I think a lot of those are nice. But at the end of the day, it's kind of, where is your heart with respect to God? And what is that relationship? And so, that to us, my wife and I, is kind of where we center that. And some of the history, I think, is really neat. And I've never actually been able to go over to the Vatican and see that. But in terms of kind of how we do it, we really just focus on, what is the cornerstone, of being a Christian in the modern world. And I think it's really back to that in John.
You consider yourself Roman Catholic today, still? Yeah. Okay, sounds good. Tell me a little bit about, do you have a favorite Bible verse, or is there something that kind of...
I would say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life from the book of John. I mean, I think that...
These are the same one he said. We don't need to see the rest of it.
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Okay, so there you have it. Ron DeSantis, you shall not be saved by works alone. Doesn't this just completely prove, Matt and Chris, your thesis that all American Catholics are just Protestants?
That's some Protestant ass shit there. And he's not even really violent. People aren't going to even say that that's wrong. Cause what else you got?
Really does not like that he's Catholic.
He's very annoying. Yeah. He wishes he was a mega church guy. Just like he wishes he was from Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, he hates. He really resents being a Florida guy, and resents being born there. Like, he's in his book, he's like, I may have been born in a tiki bar. my birthplace may have been desecrated by the filming of an HBO Real Sex episode, but my epigenetic roots are in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania, and I'm basically from there.
I like when he says that, Roman Catholicism, all its traditions, they're neat.
They're
pretty neat. Yeah, it's neat. And he says the history, the traditions, they're neat. But he says, I haven't been able to go to Rome to see any of this. It's like you encounter the history. You got to go. Got to visit.
It's interesting that he has not been able to make it to Rome to explore his Catholicism, but he has been to Tel Aviv.
And Jerusalem.
Good point.
Well, that is Rome for the evangelical.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this was my favorite news article of the week. It is headline: Restaurant used fake priest to hear workers' confessions, feds say. This is by Shara Aviona for the Washington Post. The owners of a Northern California taqueria chain will pay $140,000 in back wages and damages after federal investigators found they used a fake priest to elicit confessions of wrongdoing from their employees, the Labor Department announced this month. Labor officials began looking into allegations that employees weren't being paid overtime wages at the Sacramento area chain Taqueria Garibaldi in May 2021. As investigators contacted employees, they learned that a man who purported to be a priest had been introduced by the owner to get the sins out of the restaurant workers, one former employee said in an affidavit filed in the case. The priest began meetings with a prayer, Labor Department investigator Raquel Alfaro testified last year. He then asked employees whether they were loyal to owner Eduardo Hernandez and whether they had ever stolen from him. As soon as the confession started, I found the conversation to be strange and unlike normal confessions where I would tell a priest about the sins I wanted to confess, former employee Maria Parra said in her sworn declaration. The priest mostly had work-related questions, which I thought was strange.
Now, this is Catholicism that Ron DeSantis can get behind.
Yeah. It gets even worse here. Restaurant management also threatened employees with adverse immigration consequences and used pooled tips to pay managers, the Labor Department said June 12th. Another unnamed employee told investigators that manager Alejandro Rodriguez would not let us sit down and eat, forcing workers to hide in the refrigerator during meals. I just love the idea of like, okay, like this is the work priest. You've heard of the hip priest. Here's the work priest. And then it's like, Father, it's been 1 week since my last confession. I had impure thoughts or whatever. And it's like, no, fuck that. Have you been reporting all your tips? Have you had bad thoughts about your manager? Please confess that.
Every restaurant owner in America has like the exact same personality as Reinhard Heydrich. It's really incredible. It's not even fully greed, because I mean it is, but like if you really wanted to make as much money as possible, you wouldn't be in the restaurant business. It's a really shitty way to make money. It's almost like secondary to your main focus of immiserating your employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get to do some real hands-on misery making when you're a restaurateur. Real intimate stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had to close my restaurant. I may have only made negative $700,000 over the last 20 years, but at least I ruined a lot of lives.
Yeah.
Well, I like this merging of the service industry and religion, and particularly the Catholic Church. Because look, okay, for our Catholic listeners out there, here's what you do. Here's a little tip. Next time you go to confession, you're in the box. The little screen opens up. You see the priest is ready to take your confession. Lay out five single dollar bills in the box. And then during the confession, when he's like really not bringing it, just take one away. And what's left over is what you're going to put in the collection plate. So just let these priests know that they're on notice.
I would like to take it a step further and make all confession boxes the official Yum Brands confession box.
a chicken box.
Yeah, like if you have like maybe a sin card, and if you commit a sin and then you do your Hail Marys and you don't commit the same sin for the rest of the year, you get like a punch. And if you get 10 punches, you get a free famous bowl. But any repeat sins, that gets taken off of your existing Yum Brand points.
And they just slide you the bowl like through the little professional slit.
It's like if you're on death row or something, you know, you just get like a tray stuck through the little slot.
Oh, and then Ron DeSantis can like issue an executive order where he's like, new thing. Everyone executed in Florida, their Yum Brand points go to the families of their victims now, not to the families of those executed.
There's another bit in the DeSantis David Brody sort of theological seminary where Ron talked about how like he likes to imagine himself, or like he always wonders what it would have been like to be one of Jesus's disciples.
In terms of throughout history, could I have been there with Jesus' disciples? I mean, you know, these are people who, you know, Peter's just fishing one day and all of a sudden, you know, this guy comes up to him, catches all the fish and says, you know, you're going to be fisher. I want you to be a fisher of men. Come with me. And, you know, to talk about what that was like, talk about what their impressions are, you know, what of that. I look back at that and would love to have been able to be there with them.
And I think that is awesome. Such a fucking funny idea to imagine Ron DeSantis walking around Galilee and just like, being like, oh, wine, it's got sugar, or like, you know, loaves. No, thanks, no, man.
No bread for me, man.
The one thought I had,
I'm not carbo loading.
The one intrusive thought I had about this is at the Last Supper when Jesus says, one of you will betray me. There's just like his squeaky voice just says, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's not going to be me. That's what I can tell you. Just silver falling out of every pocket in his robe. Oh, I actually just sold my hut recently. That's what this is. I love that interview because the way he talked about it, you said it was like he was talking about it like it was being on a movie set. He sounds like such a fucking boob. He goes, I really wonder what that would have been like to be there with John and Paul and, you know, meet all these guys and be like, man, you were a fisherman and now you're an apostle. what was that like? Like, he wants to go back. He wants to go back in time to do like Chris Farley interviews of all the apostles.
It's like, and then Jesus Christ being around him is like Harrison Ford in every interview he has to do. Where he's just like, he's like, wow, you're the Son of Man and the Son of God. What's that like? And he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. What's a Red Hulk? How much longer do we got here? Okay, all right.
Does the Holy Ghost ever open up around you?
How'd you get into being a Messiah?
I think that would be a great educational tool to do like a VeggieTales style thing, but it's Ron DeSantis sent back in time to different historical events. Ron DeSantis at the forming of Islam, meeting Muhammad.
Pontius Pilate. And be like, we're gonna revoke the tax status from your Roman protectorate, man.
I really like anyone who asks any question that makes Ron get creative. Like,
I'm sick of Saturnalia being shoved down our throats. We don't want this woke holiday in Palestine, man. Tired of all this ass fucking going on.
I am going to be really sad when like we get less interviews from him.
Yeah, he's going to figure out eventually that the more he talks, the less good it is for him.
Yeah. Enjoy it while it lasts.
And I guess like the last story I got for today, this is courtesy of The Intercept, Daniel Bogislaw, Sam Biddle, and Ken Klippenstein. This is about the Pentagon Secret Service trawls social media for mean tweets about generals. Our beautiful, beautiful, handsome generals are getting roasted online. And the Pentagon is, they've got a new unit to deal with this. It says here, when the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, enters into his scheduled retirement later this year, one of the perks will include a personal security detail to protect him from threats, including embarrassment. The U.S. Army Protective Services Battalion, the Pentagon's little-known Secret Service equivalent, is tasked with safeguarding top military brass. The unit protects current as well as former high-ranking military officers from assassination, kidnapping, injury, or embarrassment, according to Army records. Protective Services mandate has expanded to include monitoring social media for direct, indirect, and veiled threats and identifying negative sentiment regarding its wards, according to the Army procurement document dated September 1st, 2022, and reviewed by The Intercept. The expansion of the Protective Service Battalion's purview has not been previously reported.
I like the carve out for embarrassment. Like, presumably these guys are all like operators, former Delta. They blend in.
Army Rangers.
If they see like the Three Stooges are walking down the street with a giant cake in General Milley's direction, they will kill on sight.
They have a around the clock security detail to protect them from a potential pantsed dude style scenario.
Yeah,
Mark Milley is in his pants just fly off, and he's like, "Oh God, my dick! Fuck, my fully erect dick! Oh fuck!"
So all these guys pulling out every type of belt they can find and suspenders.
A guy just jumps across the dick like he's taking a bullet. No. But yeah, our handsome, beautiful generals, just be nicer to them online, you know, because the Secret Service detail is out there.
This reminds me of a favorite topic of ours, the Queenie generals of the past.
Yes.
They really would have loved this. Like, don't tell me Douglas MacArthur would not have loved like his very own beehive, like the Nicki Minaj fans.
Yes. Yes.
Like, would have loved that.
Yeah, like Yeah, the MacArthur Hive is coming for Harry Truman.
We know that the generals go insane with like any kind of attention. Like, look what happened with McChrystal. Like, some reporter shows up
killed
for a
Michael
weekend
Hastings.
And he goes insane off of Bud Light Limes and starts saying how he wants to give Joe Biden a swirly. And of course, David Petraeus getting all horned up and just giving his biographer access to everything. As soon as people decided he was a genius, these guys are all snapping. And the stories about like Miley at the end of the book of the Trump presidency, like running around being like, I am the last line of defense. They're all and of course, who could forget mild mannered, like regular old general Michael Flynn, who took one look at the internet and his brain melted like it was in a fucking microwave.
Yeah, Michael Flynn, like until he was 60, probably the most boring guy in the world, would eat an apple with a knife and fork. And then he sees like one meme by an insane person that's like, Michael Flynn's cool. And he's like, I've been talking to Cleopatra in my dreams. We're going to kill all the child rapers soon.
I hope none of these generals start getting messages from Joan of Arc. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Well, is there a Pentagon unit that like watches out for demons? That
there should be
people. There really should be. I didn't know. Apparently this Joan of Arc thing is widespread. Like it's a very popular technique by demons.
Have you seen this woman in your dreams? Have you seen this French teenager in your dreams? She may have looked somewhat boyish, had sort of a bob haircut. Let us know. It could be a demon. But what if Joan of Arc is actually out there trying to contact people from the other side and is just getting, you know, it's like how every phone call now is a fucking scam. Like, did you see that thing about how the mayor, like President Biden was trying to call the mayor of Philadelphia after the I-95 collapse? And the guy just like picked up his phone. It was an unregistered number, unrecognized number. And he was like, fuck this, and didn't pick it up. So like, like a similar thing may be happening in the spiritual realm now where like, you know, one out of every 50 contacts from past lives is of life changing importance. You need to pick up the phone, but you don't because most of the time they're just fucking demons trying to rip you off.
Well, that would be incredible because, like, you know, they say, like, a lot of the scams come from, like, this specific place in India where they, like, really figured it out. They're really good at it. That would mean those guys have, you know, they've surpassed their mastery of the telephone and now they're onto astral projection. That would be amazing.
Hello, Joan of Arc. Are you there? You beautiful angel. I live in Castle.
There really is like this one town
Romeo
in
dialing
India.
Romeo dialing Amelia Earhart.
There really is though this like one town in India where like it is, that's like the main thing is like fooling stupid old Americans. Like there, it's like one town in particular. I forget what it's called, but they're just like awesome at it there. There's this YouTuber who's like his main thing is like getting these scam callers, and he like figured it out. But
Does he just like get them on the phone and then just wind them up?
Yeah.
He's good for him.
Yeah, he's good. But I don't know. He should ask them about their ability to enter the dreams of young Catholic men.
Just pick up the phone when it calls. It could be Joan of Arc calling.
Yeah.
Pretty cool how a major form of human communication is now completely unusable thanks to scams and flams. Good luck with that.
That was in a Ajit Pai thing. Remember Ajit Pai?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. He was the fidget spinner FCC guy.
Yeah. He was the guy who like he changed a lot of like the few remaining FCC guidelines on stuff like this, like spam calls. Like he probably singularly more responsible for, you know, getting scam texts and calls at an increased rate in the last 3 years.
If you want to talk about a guy who it would be universally regarded to be good and funny if he died in a submarine next to the Titanic, Ajit Pai would be top of that fucking list. Everyone would agree on that one.
He do you remember when he did a Harlem Shake video in like 2018?
Oh, yep. Yeah. It was.
Oh, epic. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he gets into a dirigible soon. Oh, well, we could get him on one. We could be like, Ajit, we just found a meme dirigible. It's got Dat Boy and Harambe and all the hilarious memes you love on there.
We'll be setting it down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench. Enjoy. Let's leave it there for the day. But before we go, we got some announcements. Kicking it over to Chris.
Hello, everybody. Yes, we have two different exciting announcements today. First, I can announce what may be our only live shows this year. We'll see what happens. But so far, the only ones we have scheduled, we are finally coming to Canada. This yes. isn't a big tour, but we are spending an extended weekend in Ontario and Quebec. We are going to be in Toronto on Thursday, August 17th at Danforth Music Hall, and in Montreal on Saturday, August 19th at the Corona Theater. Now, I'm still getting final information on these things. I believe we are going to be offering a Patreon presale. I will be making all these announcements on the Patreon and on Twitter. So just keep your eyes out for how these tickets are going to go on sale when the links are all up and ready to go together. But if you live in Toronto and want to come to see us, keep Thursday, August 6th, 17th open. And if you live in Montreal and want to come and see us, keep Saturday, August 19th open. Ticket links will be out as soon as I have them. You guys excited for Canada?
I'm very excited. And just just quick note, a little bit of housekeeping here. There will be two shows in Montreal, the first in English, the second in French.
Yes, we will be winging the French, yes.
for the entire 90 minutes.
Then the second thing I have is we have a new feature launching tomorrow. That is Wednesday the 21st on Patreon. This is a digital shop on Patreon. What this is the ability to, in addition to subscribing, which is always a feature there for the weekly episodes, we are releasing a few digital collections of some classic genres of episodes we have. We are launching this tomorrow with four digital collections. I have put together a collection of all of our movie reviews split into two parts. So each of those is about 20 episodes. I have put together all of our Matt's inebriated past episodes plus the Poppy series into one collection of, I believe, 17 episodes. And then all of our TV reviews. That's all of our classic Aaron Sorkin series, the West Wing one, the Newsroom episode, plus all of Felix's.
Let's not forget Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Into a collection. Oh, it's Studio 60, of course. Yes. And that is like 25 episodes. You can purchase all of those for one time fee. Each of those collections for a one-time fee of $9.99. Now, I assume a lot of you guys are already subscribers who are listening to this, but if you're not, or if you just want all those episodes in one place, that will be available at patreon.com/chapotraphouse/shop. Or if you know somebody who you think might be interested in getting into the show and want a good way to test out what the subscription offers you, that's a good way to get in. So those collections will be available starting tomorrow, Wednesday, June 21st. So digital collections. And then as time goes on, we're going to add more stuff to that, including some of the miniseries like Movie Mindset and Hell on Earth. But we're going to let those be subscription only probably through the summer. And then towards the end, as we launch a new round of miniseries, which we'll tell you more about later, we'll make those available. So those are two things. Live shows. Ticket information coming soon and digital collections live tomorrow. Thank you.
That ought to keep a little SOBs quiet. It's the 999 plan.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, check those out. And I hope to see you guys in Canada in August. All right. Signing off for today. Bye-bye.
Speakeasy, speakeasy. I'm leaving town. I'm going right away. Everything up there's okay.
Take it easy, take it easy. We've got a hunch. You won't go east, you won't go west.
Well, we'll all go in a bunch.
We'll be leaving in the summer, and we won't come back till fall.
Goodbye, Broadway. Hello, Montreal.
There'll be no more orange phosphates. You can bet your Ingersoll.
Goodbye, Broadway.
Hello, Montreal. We're on our way. We're on our way. And we'll make whoop, whoop, whoopy night and day. There'll be photographs of breweries all around our bedroom wall.
Goodbye, Broadway. Hello, Montreal.
Oh, we won't get home until morning.